Welcome to another episode of an Investor's Journey podcast. Because we do run our business and we are actually investing in real estate, it makes it a little hard for me to be able to sit down on a more consistent basis and put out a lot more of these podcasts that I do enjoy doing a lot. So if I am not hitting one of the subjects that you guys would like to listen to, something that maybe you just don't want to wait for me to get to, that you want me to record right away, again, reach out to us. We're everywhere on social media. My name is Jonathan Barbera. My business partner is John Barr. You can look us up at Prime Homes. Instagram, Facebook is primarily the ones that we work on every day. Also on our website. I mean, there's plenty of ways that you guys can get a hold of us. Let us know what it is that you guys want to hear next. A little housekeeping. We are having our third annual Black Sheep open this year. It is September 22nd. We are closing down registration September 14th. So that's about a week away. We did double all of our sponsors from last year. So this event is going to be amazing. Every year that our sponsors are there, they give away prizes. This is, of course, on top of everything that we already give away, and they give away jello shots, beers, koozies, wine bottles, I mean, a ton of prizes, and it's a fun time, a lot of networking. Everybody that attends is within the real estate space. All the sponsors are within the real estate space, and we are about 7 teams away from filling up this year. So if you're interested in playing or know somebody that would love to come and play, make sure you sign up right now. Let them know. Or if you just want to come hang out, you can come as a volunteer. We accept volunteers. We need volunteers. So if you guys sign up, you can come and participate for free. Still get all the networking. There's going to be a lot of prizes, free food. There's going to be a banquet at the end where we're going to raffle off a ton of prizes. And there's a lot of good stuff to win. So, you know, keep an eye out for that. If you guys want to participate, September 22nd, blacksheepopen.com. Or you can look us up on Facebook or anywhere else. Now, this episode, I wanted to cover negotiating a contract. This is something that makes a lot of people nervous. A lot of people second guess what they're going to do. They overthink what they're going to do, which is a huge problem when it comes time to negotiating a contract is overthinking. So I'm gonna cover exactly how it is that we negotiate our contracts. Now, this is not to say it's the only way. This is just the way that I have negotiated contracts since I started. It's the way that I've always done sales. It's the way I believe sales should be done. But, you know, everybody has their own way of doing it. And hopefully my way can provide a little more comfort when it comes time to negotiating your next contract. So first things first, where I think a lot of people screw this up, is the initial phone call. So by initial phone call, it could be marketing that you're doing, somebody's calling in, or maybe you got a tip from somebody, a lead from somebody, and you're calling the homeowner to start the negotiating, to start the whole process of communicating with them. The biggest issue, and I mean big, huge, humongous, to quote Donald Trump, huge, or something like that, is that you're using some douchey script that some guru or somebody online put out there because you don't know what to ask for, right? So you're hitting your 25 points when you're trying to talk to this homeowner for the first time. This is the worst thing that you can do by far, because you have built zero rapport with these people. Zero. So they don't know you. They don't know what you're even all about, and you're already asking a lot of questions that typically makes them uncomfortable. So the way I want you to look at negotiating is I want you to picture a table, right? So you're sitting on one side of the table and the seller's sitting on the other side. Now, what you need to do is work your way to their side of the table, where you are no longer negotiating with them, but you're working with them on the sell of their home. Now, this I know if you're a realtor listening to this, you're going to say, oh, you need a license. I'm not talking about that crap. I'm not saying that you're going to represent them in selling their home. I'm just saying you need to go on their side and get them to stop negotiating with you. And I'm going to explain how we do this, but that is the goal. I want you to visualize that. I want you to visualize just working with them and not against them or negotiating with them, right? So that's the biggest thing. The best way to do that is by building rapport. So first phone call, first point of contact. What do I do right off the bat is set up an appointment, period. That's it. Nothing else. Set up an appointment. Why do I say this? Because there's no better way of building rapport than doing it in person, at least for me. For me, when I'm in person, I'm a very likable person. No, but when I'm in person, I can read people's body language. I can kind of see if I'm putting them off. I can, you know, if I need to switch up the way I'm talking to them. I can see all that. And then there's a lot of ways when you negotiate with somebody that, you know, simple tricks that they sound very, you know, guru-y, I guess. I don't know if that's even a word. But it sounds like, you know, something that you would read from some douchey sales magazine. But, you know, nodding your head a lot gets them agreeing with you. Your body language, the way you, you know, smiling. Like, there's so many ways that being in person is a much better way to build rapport with these homeowners. So you want to make sure to get the appointment right off the bat. I mean, you don't care where their mortgage is, how many bedrooms there are. What's the condition of this or that? Like, none of that shit even matters because you're going to see it when you go. Now, when can you be that picky? When you're killing it. When you got a shit ton of leads, you got a lot of deals, you're making a lot of money, and you just don't want to waste your time with shitty deals, and you want to nitpick and do all that, then okay, go ahead and ask all the questions. We do that from time to time. There's times that we are swamped with a lot of deals. So I'll kind of feel them out over the phone. I want to perhaps figure out, why are you looking to sell, right? Is there any real motivation, or are you just shopping around trying to see what values, you know, what can you get for your house and stuff like that? So unless you're killing it, the only thing I would do is obviously ask them for their address, because by having their address, you're going to be able to do online research and find everything out about the property. And schedule an appointment. And the appointment should be scheduled as soon as possible. I'm talking about, I get a call from a homeowner, and first thing is, you know, great, I understand, you're looking to sell, awesome. Can I go see it? Are you available in the next 30 minutes? I mean, that fast. The reason for this is, chances are, if you got them through any form of marketing, you're not the only one doing marketing. And when homeowners typically sit down and start calling their marketing pieces, they call them all, you know, and the first person to show up has the advantage. So if you're a person that, you know, you're nervous, or maybe you want to wait for a certain time in the day or whatever it may be, just know that if that homeowner is calling me, I'm at that house already. So always feel like you're competing against me, right? Because chances are you are. And you want to make sure that as soon as they call, you pick up the phone right away. That's the biggest thing. I mean, so many people are scared to pick up the phone. Pick up the phone, you know, ask them, sure, awesome, you want to sell your house, I can definitely help you with this. What's the address? Can I be there in 30 minutes, 20 minutes, depending on where the house is? That's all it should be, as long as it takes you to get to that house. So you want to go there as soon as possible. You want to set that appointment as quickly as possible. And again, if you have a lot of deals, you have a lot of things coming in, and you're working on a bunch, and you're making a shit ton of money, and, like, you know, this is just another lead that's coming in, then you could be a little pickier and actually sit there and ask them questions. Hey, you know, what made you want to sell? And this is to determine motivation. The best question when you want to determine, like, the conditions of the home, is don't ask them, you know, is your house ugly, or does your kitchen need to be updated, or any of those things, because you put people on the defensive at that point, right? So if you're asking them if things are broken or ugly, it makes them defensive because it's their home, and you got to understand this. So they look at it, they're like, no, my house is not ugly. This is not broken. Everything is fine. But it doesn't mean that everything is updated. So the best question, the best way that I've learned to phrase it that works every single time is, when was the last time you updated this? When was the last time you updated your roof or you did your roof? When was the last time you installed new cabinets, new tile? When was the last time you updated the bathroom? When was the last time you painted the house, you did the floors, you replaced the air conditioner? When was the last time? Because now you're not asking them whether it's broken, it's nothing. All you're asking them is, when was the last time they did it? So, like, a lot of people say, oh, my roof is good. It was put new 20 years ago. Well, you know, in my experience, at least in San Antonio, with all the hailstorms and everything, 20-year roof, it might be pretty beat to shit. So you want to factor that in. It's the same with air conditioners. Or if they tell you, oh, I haven't touched my house, or I haven't done anything to the house. Okay, when did you purchase the home? Oh, I bought it in 2001 or 2002. Okay, now, you know, chances that home is dated are very high, right? Because, I mean, we're talking about, what, 19 years, 18 years, depending when they bought the house. And then add to that, how old is the home? If it was a new build, you might be a little safer on that end. But if it was a house built in the 80s and they bought it in the early 2000s, you know, I mean, you're talking about 15, 18-year-old home, never updated. Trends change, things change, and everything might be nice with the house, but it might still need to be updated. So when was the last time? That is the best questions that I've been able to come up with that works every single time I ask. So that's taking the phone call. That's from the get-go. But again, if you're somebody that's struggling to get your next deal, don't waste any time. First thing, hi, how are you? Great, you want to sell your house? What's the address? Can I be there in 20 minutes? Chances are they're calling you from their house. So go. Oh, there's a lot of traffic. You know, you can create excuses all day long, but I'm not going to. I go to a house at whatever time they call me, wherever the house is. You know, so just go. Go to the house. Once you get to the house, you start building rapport. Now, one thing that a lot of people screw up a lot is they think that the homeowner wants money. And while yes, they want money, the biggest thing is that they want whatever that money can get them. Now, why is this important? Because this is going to determine the way that you structure the deal. Now, you can structure a deal as a cash purchase. You can structure the deal as a subject to. Some form of financing. There's so many ways to structure the deal, right? So this is why you got to figure out what is their pain point. Or a lot of times the best out for them and the best way for you to make any money is to actually list the deal. And if you're not an agent or you're not partnered with an agent, which is one of the first things I did, was I wasn't going to ever get my agent's license because holy crap, I'm terrible at school, books, and all of that crap. So I partnered with my business partner. He's a smart guy and everything. So he went and got his agent's license. But if not, partner with somebody that can get it, or find an agent that you can refer these to. Because a lot of time, a listing is just the best way to do it, and it allows you to still monetize on this lead. But figure out what is their pain point. What do they need, right? Because again, it's not the money, it's what the money can get them. So once you figure out what they truly need, now is when you start getting creative on how to solve that problem, right? A lot of times they need to downsize, or they're moving out of state. A lot of times they don't need money to do so, right? So if you're negotiating a tight deal and all they want is truly just to be out of the deal, a lot of people ask for money because they just feel like, well, I gotta ask for money. What else am I gonna ask for? Right? So you're the one that has to educate them on, all right, I understand that you need to get out of the house. If I can do this and this for you, would that be enough? Right? So that is the biggest key, is figuring out what it is that they actually need. So I'm going to go through an example of a deal that I'm actually working on right this moment. And this one came from a referral from one of our contractors. I always tell all my contractors that work for me that you want more work? Find me deals, right? I mean, if a contractor comes across a property that's from a neighbor of theirs, like it's in this situation, and they know the house is going to need work and they need help selling it, they refer that deal, that lead to me. I buy it. Guess what? I'm going to hire my contractor to go in there and fix it up. So, and I also pay them for the referral. I pay everybody for a referral and a lead. So they get money on the referral as well as getting the job. So, you know, I have a contractor right now that he's a really smart guy, and he started doing this. And at the church he goes to, he found this couple that they were needing help selling their home. So he gave me their information. First thing, like I told you, right now we are actually, we've put a lot of our properties on the market. So we have 3 renovations going on and we need to pick up about 2 or 3 more. So we're actively looking for more deals. So as soon as this came by, first thing I did was I called the homeowner. Hey, you're looking to sell. Awesome. Can I go there? Are you available in 20 minutes? I mean, the lady was shocked when she called, because when I called her, because we're talking about it. And I was like, can I stop by? Oh, yeah, you know, I think maybe tomorrow. I was like, well, are you available right now? And she didn't know what to say because she wasn't expecting, you know, such a quick response. And she's like, actually, yeah, I'm available. Awesome. No need to waste any more time. So got in my car, headed over to the house. Now, I get there and I start looking at the conditions of the home, right? So this is a brick home. So I start looking. I want to see cracks. I want to see, you know, does this house have any foundation issues? I'm looking at the roof. Do I see any shine to the roof? Any form of wear and tear that's going to show me that the roof is old? So I'm walking up and I'm not seeing really anything like that. We walk in through the garage and she says to me, we got to go through the garage because the front door won't open. I was like, ooh. I was like, so that's, to me, that's foundation issues right there. The front door won't open, it shifted, and there's an issue with it. So as I'm walking through the garage, there's like huge cracks going around. So I'm seeing all this. I was off the bat. I was like, okay, this house has foundation issues. I walk inside. The house is in awesome conditions. I'm talking about it's already renovated. So they bought the house about 5 years ago from another investor that flipped the house to them. Now, I don't know if the investor covered up the foundation cracks and sold it just like that, because if when they're doing an inspection, if they don't see any reason to do a foundation inspection, they won't sometimes. So if he covered up the foundation cracks, it's a very shitty thing to do. A lot of investors do it. I don't, but you know, there's a lot of people out there do it. So what they did pretty much is they renovated the whole house. Everything is brand new, 4 years ago. And this house has foundation issues now. So these people need to sell because they want to move to take care of their parents. And I walk it through the house and I'm like, man, I was like, there's literally nothing wrong with the house. I would typically suggest listing it. But because you have foundation issues, you can't, because it won't qualify for financing. And I told them, I was like, you can do what I'm guessing the previous rehabber did to you guys, whereas you can cover the cracks and kind of roll the dice on this. But, you know, your doors are really out of whack. Everything is really screwed up. So, it's you know, you run that risk of getting caught at that point. And I don't think it's correct. It's not ethical to do something like that. But I'm not here to judge whatever you need to do to make money. So, and of course, the homeowners, they're great people, and they're like, no, we definitely don't want to do that. So what can we do? And I was like, well, unfortunately, you guys are going to take a hit on this. I was like, I know you guys bought this house 4 years ago, so I couldn't imagine you having too much equity in this property. But for me to buy it, I was like, I'm obviously going to flip it. I'm going to renovate it and sell it. And for me to do that, I'm going to destroy all the flooring because it's a 1,500 square foot house, and I got a foundation bid done on the property, and it needs 37 piers because it's sitting on a slab, for anybody that's not in San Antonio. And it has about a 4-inch lift that we need to do. So that's a big lift. That's going to cause a lot of cracks to appear. We got to go through all the floors. So I'm like, all this beautiful floor you have in this awesome paint job, I was like, we're going to screw all this shit up. I was like, we're going to create more cracks. We're going to have to patch all that up. We're going to break plumbing because the 4 inches is exactly where the kitchen and the bathrooms are. I was like, so I got foundation, I have plumbing, I have 1,500 square feet of flooring that I need to install, and I got to paint the whole house. So I was like, it's a pretty big rehab in the sense that you guys are, you know, you're pretty much going to take a hit. So, and I can see that they're getting stressed out, and I'm really trying to think here. I was like, holy crap. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to help you. So this whole time I'm educating them, I'm showing them what the problem is, I'm showing them that I'm here to help and all this. So I'm already on their side of the table, right? That we're not even across the table from each other anymore. I'm on their side of the table. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm going over their mortgage because they were telling me how much they're paying, because based on their mortgage, I was thinking, well, if you need to sell, that you need to move, maybe you can just rent the property instead of selling, right? If your mortgage is low enough, you bought it 4 years ago, your mortgage may be low enough that you can just move out and just rent the property. But they're telling me, you know, their mortgage is ridiculously high. And so we start doing some research on their mortgage. So I'm showing them what the problems are. And so, I mean, this whole time, I'm just educating them. The whole time we're there, I'm just educating them. I'm walking them through everything that needs to get done. I'm showing them what the problems are, why it is that we can't sell for, you know, retail, why we couldn't pay more for the property, even though it looks awesome and looks, you know, in excellent conditions. Excuse me. And they're great people. They are really great people. And it bugs me that I'm not able to help them any better, but it's the work needs to be done to the house. And I'm showing them all this. So long story short, we're kind of going over everything, and they're like, you know, well, I know there's an option, right? There is a solution to this. I'm just not presenting it yet, because what I'm waiting for is for them to kind of come to the realization that they're not going to get what they wanted to get and ask me, so what else can we do? Because when a homeowner comes to that point, they're more inclined to actually listen to other solutions. Because as long as they keep in their mind that they want this one sell price, they're not listening to anything else that you're saying. So all I'm doing is getting them to a point where they start realizing that the sell price that they had in their head, whatever it was, is not achievable, right? So once you get them to that point that they realize that, the next question out of their mouth is, so what can we do with this? As soon as they do that, now they're opening the door to you for you to come in and say, okay, here's your only option, right? Whatever that may be. And hopefully you're not a piece of shit investor, that you're going to take advantage of them and you give them a legit option, right? Something that is actually going to benefit them. So that happened. They got to that point where they asked me, so what can we do with this? So after looking at their mortgage and looking at everything and seeing that, you know, they really can't afford it, I was like, well, look, the best option that we can do, because it is a tight deal for us, where if we're deploying that much capital to, and I mean, all said and done, we would probably be deploying about $140,000 for this property, right? If I'm deploying that much capital, I don't want to deploy that much to make 15 grand, 20 grand. Right? That, to us, that's a lot of risk with not a lot of reward. So I was like, and I explained that to them. I explained to them all the numbers. I don't fudge any numbers. I don't fluff anything up. I tell them exactly what I'm going to do, where I'm going to spend it on, and what's the profit I expect to make. Because if they have a problem with that, then, you know, which usually if you did a good job negotiating and explaining things to them, they won't have a problem. Nobody I've approached has ever had a problem with us making profit. They understand that we're an investment company and we're here to make money. If not, we wouldn't be in business. So I explained to them, I was like, it's a lot of capital for very little profits, a lot of risk. So they understand that. But now, the way I can mitigate my risk is by not putting up so much capital. So like I explained to them, I was like, look, you guys need to get out of this. And there's not all that much money in here for you if I have to pay you cash. But if we partner on this, I can split whatever profits we generate with you. So what this does is two things. It mitigates our risk, right? Because now we're not coming up with so much capital. And it gives them a potential to make a lot more money. Because if we can, like it's been happening a lot here, is by the time we're done with our projects, whatever our values projected, our projected values were, they've gone up by that time, another five, maybe 10 grand. So, you know, this option really intrigued them. So what we're doing right now, what we're structuring is a subject to deal with a partnership with them. This means that we are taking over their current loan and making the payments moving forward, right? So what this is going to do is alleviates that payment from them. They're obviously going to have to find a place that they can rent or something in the meantime that they can move out to. And once they move out, we get in there. All we have to do at the time is keep up the monthly payments and bring the money for the rehab. So our $140,000, you know, loan that we needed initially went down to maybe 25, 30 grand. So now we're risking 25, 30 grand to make 15 or 20. Okay, I'm willing to do that, right? I'm risking very little capital to make damn near the same amount. So it's not a bad investment at that point for us because we do a lot of volume. We're not in San Antonio. We don't do a lot of home runs where you see on TV that people are just, you know, they're killing it with making $120,000 profits. We don't get a lot of those in San Antonio. So we do a lot of singles, but we do a lot of them. And this would be one of them. So I explained that to them. I explained the whole process. You know, we would be taking over your mortgage, making everything gets done through title and everything. Everything's legit. It's through attorney. So everything gets documented, you know, and if for whatever reason we screwed something up that we didn't make a payment, they always have the right to foreclose on us, which obviously we wouldn't do because it's not in our interest. We would lose all the money that we put in. So I presented this to them, and at the time they were like, you know, obviously I know this strategy, I know how to do all this correctly. So I explained it to them where they understood it, and they're like, yeah, well, we actually like it. And what they like the most is that it has the potential to pay them more money if the prices keep going up, right? So they really like that. And all I did this whole time was just educate them through the whole process. I never sold them on anything. I never did any, you know, what's that dumb shit everybody says? ABC, always be closing, and whatever douchey shit that you've seen on Wolf of Wall Street or Grant Cardone or whoever, you know, is pushing sales. Don't do that shit. Just be a human. You know, you're dealing with these people. Build these rapports. And I'm telling you, it's going to work out so much better and it's going to be so much easier. So I presented all that to them and they're thanking me for this, right? Now they're like, oh my God, thank you so much. I can't believe we're going to be able to do this and get out of it. I mean, and it's true. I mean, if it wasn't because I'm able to do something that creative, I don't know how else they would have sold this house. They probably would have gotten taken advantage by somebody else that would have offered them a lot lower, you know, and the deal wouldn't have worked out. So at least this way, it's like, look, all the numbers are on the table. We're making your mortgage payment. You're going to see how much we're putting in, and whatever gets generated, we're going to split. So whatever gets made, you're going to get a portion of, you know, so it's good for them. They're going to get a good amount of money. And it's great for us because it limits our risk and our exposure on the property. So the whole time, this is the reason I wanted to explain this one is because it is a more of an advanced strategy, but it is a strategy that typically confuses the crap out of sellers. But if you just get on the right side of the table with them, it's not that hard. You understand? Because once you get them on your side where they're asking you, What can we do? That's it. At that point, now they're delegating to you to give them that solution. You understand? So now the negotiations at this point don't become negotiation, and they become just more of, all right, this is the way that we're going to do it. This is how it's going to work, and here's what we're going to do, and here's how we're going to paper everything up, right? And then that's it. I mean, that was truly the education. That was just educated them, got on the right side, worked with them, and gave them a solution that's solving their needs. Now, they need another place to move, right? So I'm working with other people that I know that find places for people to live to move to, right? Agents that do placements and they do leases and all these things. And so I'm helping them, because the more full service I become, the easier it is to work with me, and the better service I provide them, and the less problems you're going to have as you work with them. You know, so you want to keep very, very clean, very easy transaction throughout this whole process. And that's, I mean, I've negotiated deals where some people don't, they say I shouldn't be saying this, but I, you know, it is what it is. When I first started, I would negotiate so well with homeowners that they liked me so much that they would literally sign the TREC contract, which is the Texas real estate contract here in Texas. That's 9 pages. They would initial every page at the bottom and sign the back without me filling out any of the terms or anything on the page, because I didn't know how to fill out contracts at the time. And then I would go to my partner that did know how to fill them out, and I was like, okay, here are the terms. Here's what we talked about. I don't know. Put it wherever it goes. Right? And I mean, a lot of people are like, that sounds so wrong. It is, I guess, if you're going to screw them over, but I never did, obviously. And everything gets done through title. And I obviously, we've gone over and it's the same terms that we agreed to, and all the deals have closed. All the homeowners are doing good. But that is how I started. And the only way I was able to do that is by building rapport with people, where you got to understand most, I mean, 99% of all homeowners don't know anything about real estate. So a lot of people, they get scared or confused, or like, what if they ask this? What if they ask that? I don't know about a contract. What if they ask me this? They don't. They never will. They won't ask you anything because they don't know what the hell to ask you. All they know is that they have a problem and you are the supposed expert. So act like one. Act like an expert. Go there and show them. Now, one thing that you don't want to do is a mistake that I made when I first started. I went to some, they call it the Big Live event or some shit like that. It's a guru here locally in Texas that he teaches you what he calls the 12 strategies, right? And so I was like, oh, wow, 12 strategies. So I would go to these homeowners and say, well, here are 5 options for you to choose from. That was the worst thing that you can do. I mean, I just scared the shit out of every homeowner every time I did that. I mean, you got to understand that they're coming to you because you're the expert. And if I'm going to them and giving them 5, 6 options for them to choose from, they're like, I don't know what the hell to choose. You know, like, I don't know. I don't know about real estate. That's why I called you. So you're there to tell them what they need to choose. You're there to tell them which option is best for them. You know, if not, like, you're in the wrong business. I mean, if you don't know how to do any of that, what's the easiest solution? Find an investor that does and go with them to the meetings. And it's the easiest and quickest way to learn how to negotiate deals. Find an investor that knows how to negotiate deals and go to the deal with them. And that is how we actually are picking up another property that we're doing here. This one's a much bigger project, and I did much of the same. We're negotiated a subject to on that one as well, because that one is a lot of money. That one would have been, I don't know, over like 300 grand that I would have had to bring to the table, and, you know, not looking to do so. So, but that one, the same, a wholesaler, she brought the deal to me and she was like, you know, would you like to buy it from me, this and that? And I'm just, after looking at the deal and looking at everything, I was like, well, how about we partner on it? So I'm partnering with the seller, I'm partnering with the wholesaler. So the homeowner is giving it to me as a subject to, and once we're done, we're gonna, from the proceeds, we're gonna give them their portion, And then from the proceeds, I'm also going to pay the wholesaler their portion. We're doing a split on that as well. So that means I don't have to pay the wholesaler up front. I don't have to pay the homeowner up front. All I got to do is renovate the property. That's the only money out of my pocket. And then we're splitting all the profits. So you got to get creative, right? You got to make these deals work for you. And the way to do it is by educating these homeowners. And the funny thing actually is that that homeowner that we're negotiating the second deal with, they've already recommended us to their neighbors, and we haven't even closed the deal yet. But the recommendation from the other homeowner when he called me is, he says, oh, you know, so-and-so recommended you, and they say that they loved working with you and that you're the best person to call. And I was like, we haven't even closed the deal yet. You know, it's very humbling. It's great that they feel this way, but that's because of that, the same reason. We're building rapport. And they already had an offer for what they wanted. They just didn't feel good about that person buying their home, so they wanted to sell to us. I mean, that's just building rapport. You understand? Just get on the right side. Make sure you're working with them. And don't think about price. Don't talk about, the last thing I ever do is talk about price. And I only talk about price sometimes when I feel, when I'm talking to them and I feel like they're a little fidgety, like they're very eager to get the price out. I just let them get the price out. I just tell them, so what are you thinking of that you would like to get? And they'll be like, blah, I want 150, 160, 180, whatever the hell they want. I let them say it. I truly don't care. That number just goes in one ear, comes out the other. But as soon as they say it, they relax. And then I keep going, right? So I keep talking to them. We keep going over all the things I would do to it, what I see with the market, what I see with their local area. And then, you know, we wrap back around. And then eventually, I don't touch the price at all. I don't even say the price. Eventually, we get to that point where they start doing the numbers in their head. And then they're like, oh, crap. So my number's not going to work. And then they come and they ask that question, you know, so what can we do? There we go. Now we're going to start talking, right? Because I wanted you to get to that point yourself, because if I force you to say that, it doesn't have the same effect. But if you come to that realization on your own, now it becomes a lot easier for me to work out a good strategy that, again, our focus has always been to help the homeowner. I mean, our core value for our company, our number one core value, is people before profits. I believe that to the bottom of my heart because I've seen people in this industry. I grew up in construction. I've seen it in the construction industry where people are just screwing anybody and everybody that they can just to make a dollar. And to me, that's just, I don't know. I mean, I think that's just really bad business. And the reason we've been in business this long is because I feel that we do the right thing, you know, every time. So that's how we negotiate our deals. That's how, when we go to properties, we build that rapport, we over-educate. And sometimes because over-educating, I will, you know, tell you that we do lose a lot of deals. There's some deals that, you know, they just want the highest and best offer. That's it. And a lot of times we lose them because we're not willing to pay that much money, you know. And some people are unsellable, right? There's some people that you can't sell. They don't care. They're not in a rush, perhaps, or, you know, they're holding their ground because they believe their house is worth gold. I don't waste my time with those people. I truly don't. It's not worth my time to waste. So with people like that, I just, you know, all right, you're way over there, I'm way over here. There's no way that we can get to that middle ground. You believe your house is worth X, I believe you're insane. You know, so what do I do with those people? Put them on my little follow-up campaign. You know, every month or so, I'm calling them up. Hey, have you sold? Are you still interested? Eventually, they'll realize that they are the ones that are confused and their house is not worth that. But I still did it very respectfully. I still provided them a shit ton of value. Why do I do this even though I'm not going to get the deal? Because I know if they ever decide to come down, I am always the first person they call. You know, and this is, of course, unless some other investor got in there and said to them, like a lot of new wholesalers, you know, whatever the person says, they're like, yes, I can pay you that. Let's get it on the contract. I think that's a terrible habit to get into, but it's a habit that a lot of gurus and a lot of people push. Just get it on the contract and you'll find some dumbass out there to pay that ridiculous price. You can and you will find some idiot to pay that price. It's just not the right way to do business. Because if you end up screwing people over where they do the deal and they keep losing money, they're going to associate losing money to you. And that's a very terrible association, in my opinion. What I want them to associate is making money to me. So when they think of us, I want them to think of making money. So I want to make sure that everybody's going to make money. If not, I don't get into the deal. I'm not interested in just another little quick payday. You know, and that's where I think a lot of people, in my opinion, why they don't last is because they keep chasing that payday. And 3-4 months down the line, that their reputation goes around that they sell really shitty deals. You know, I get so many times, so many wholesalers come to us and they're like, hey, man, you know, I've been sending you a bunch of leads, but you never a bunch of deals, but you never respond. I'm like, yeah, I block you. That's why I never respond. You send shit every single time. So now every time I see anything from you, my email already knows to block you, you know, and I don't have time to waste. And other investors realize that shortly. So don't be that kind of investor, at least not if you're trying to build a real business in this. I don't know. I mean, I think that's all I got right now. So if you guys, again, have any questions or anything about any specifics, even if you want to pass a scenario past me that you want me to expand on, get a hold of us. We're everywhere. It's not hard to get a hold of us. If you wanted to come and meet us in person and talk to us about a deal or something, we hold our meetup every third Tuesday of the month. You can find it on our Facebook page. We usually pick different breweries around San Antonio that we like to check out new breweries. And it's a little happy hour mastermind. We only invite investors that are really doing stuff and new investors. This way we can just sit around a table and actually talk real strategy. This is not one of those, you know, 200 people happy hour that there's just a bunch of noise and nobody really gets anything out of it. This is very intimate. Usually I try to keep it under 10 people where we just sit around a table and actually go over strategies, marketing, problems, deals, and a lot of deals get done in that little 10-person group. So check it out if you wanted to come in person. And if you're not in San Antonio, reach out to us. We're always here to help. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. And again, reach out if you guys have any questions. Catch you on the next one.